So from probably the most low-tech intervention possible to one of the most high-tech, this is Camilla Sorensen, who, as you can see, has abseiled in out of a helicopter. And she is here to present a really high-end technological intervention, which is the use of virtual reality. Now, I didn't realize before I was coming to do this conference that I'd be introducing virtual reality technologies. My boyfriend's job is to speak at conferences about virtual reality technologies, and I wish that I hadn't blanked out everything that he said about his career for the whole of the last 5 years. But so I'm just going to hand it over to somebody who knows far more about it than I do, Camilla Sorensen.
Thank you. The evolution of cardiopulmonary resuscitation has been marked by many inquiring minds with dreams to save human lives. Starting with the more bizarre methods, we constantly developed, evolved, and tested more or less creative ideas, until Dr. James Elan proved that expired air is sufficient to maintain adequate oxygenation. And from here on, it went fast. From the combination of ventilations and chest compressions, the birth of Resuscian and formalized CPR programs, to the introduction of the first pediatric courses. But we still face challenges. In the UK alone, one hospital visit every 3 minutes is due to heart attack. 3 out of 10 will not survive. So, there's a dream that I dream of, and that is flexible, repeatable, motivating, and safe CPR training. As I mentioned in the film, many innovative people have ensured high-quality CPR training and outcome, but there are still things that can and should improve. Current literature mentions several challenges with today's training. Among others, it is mentioned that today's training meets logistical problems, transfer issues, lack of time for training, and also that skills decay faster than people attend a new course. So to reduce some of these challenges, I wish that we, among other things, will consider using new technologies in our way to improve those outcomes. So for the next year or so, I will, in collaboration with a company called Rokoko, try to integrate a motion capture suit with virtual reality to create virtual simulations that can improve the outcomes of CPR training. Oh, so we just have to shift the computer. So this is a motion capture suit, as you have probably already guessed, and it works with the 19 sensors in this suit that has sends live feedback for the computer down there. It is completely wireless and have a range for up to 100 meters, and it needs no external parts. So just to show you how it works, I will just calibrate the system in a second. So you have to do a straight pose, that's why I'm standing like this. And then hopefully in a second you will be able to see your avatar. Yes. Okay. So, as you can see, it will detect all of my movements in real time, so I would be able to jump, or I could even make a small dance. Yes, quite impressed with that, I can see. So for the last couple of weeks, we have tried to integrate this suit in a little virtual environment that I will show you in a second. It's still a demo, and it has a lot of flaws due to the short amount of time put in it so far. But hopefully it will give you a visual understanding of what I'm trying to explain later on. So Rasmus, would you please start the program?
Help, help, I need help. Okay. So this was just a very short exercise, and I will try to show you how you can use it for playback. So, you should be able to see your scenario afterwards, where you can zoom in on specific details and you can shift perspective. And this is quite unique, since we are using 3D images instead of the 2D images that you get from video recordings. So here you can, of course, use this for feedback or debriefing sessions, where you, in this particular example, will make sure that I knew that I was not following the algorithm and that children needs 5 rescue breaths before providing compressions and so on. So this is, again, really short demo of what this can be turned into. In the next year, we will try to integrate this with head-mounted displays, which is the goggles. So that means that I, as a participant, will be able to see this virtual environment. And instead of looking at a mannequin, I would be able to see a boy having cardiac arrest. And because I'm wearing the suit, I will be able to also visualize my hands and my legs, which is not possible normally in virtual reality where you block the real world out. So that is why this suit is actually quite clever or smart for this purpose. We also would like to integrate multiple suits in the program so we could actually work together and do teamwork in these sessions. So that's the dream. But today, we already know that augmented and virtual reality are being used with good results. We see it used in pain management in children. There was a study out in a couple months ago which showed really good results in this area. And also we use it for prepping for procedures and operations. Today I will mainly focus on explaining to you where it is used in CPR training at this moment. So, I need my pointer. Yes. Let's start with augmented reality, AR. Augmented reality is a technology where you add on virtual layer to the already existing world, so to the real world. Many of you probably know this from Pokemon Go. So you have been out hunting Pokemons with your children, or maybe alone. And here you saw that the smartphone was showing you the real world, but there were also added on extra virtual layers, being the virtual Pokemons. In the more high-tech end of the AR scale, we found the use of head-mounted displays. In this example, the Microsoft HoloLens. And the HoloLens that you see in this picture is combined with something called Lucina AR technology that makes you able to visualize the mannequin, but you can also visualize extra virtual layers, in this example, a fetus. So this makes you able to train different birth scenarios and see visualize the complications and train how you would act in these situations. The use of smartphones in AR technology has been used for several years. Here it is an example from the American Heart Association, who provides laymen with a free app where they can train CPR at home. Here, all you need is a functional smartphone with a camera, so you can visualize the floor in your home, and then you can put on a man who has cardiac arrest, and you can train the algorithm and will receive feedback during the training. Another way it's used is with the HoloLens again, where Microsoft provides medical students with a human anatomy app, so they can train anatomy everywhere at any time. So they can just put on the glasses and then they will be able to visualize, for example, the heart. They can move it around, they can get closer, they can look at the different layers. And here you could imagine that you could visualize why it works to compress the heart. Also, the HoloLens can be used in combination with the Viomedics ultrasound simulator, where you are able to still see the mannequin, you're able to see your ultrasound probe, but you can also look directly inside the mannequin. So you can actually visualize what you're looking at with the probe and see the organs inside. In 2019, medical student Jai Skeorp organizational psychologist Peter Digman and I from Copenhagen Academy for Medical Education and Simulation. We conducted an integrative review where we looked at the current research of AR used in healthcare education beyond surgery. Here we found that there were improved learning outcomes by implementation of AR in healthcare education. And we also looked at the distribution of studies, and we found that only one study was made in the pediatric field from 2014 to 2019, but seven studies came from the anesthesiologist. So, room for improvement. Virtual reality is a bit different. Here you are fully immersed in the virtual world, so you block the real world out. So that means you're only able to see the virtual content. With virtual reality, you really get a sense of being somewhere else. We refer to this as presence, and current literature indicates that it is this feeling of presence that makes you able to have experiential learning and actually transfer this learning to real life. Virtual reality again comes in a wide range, from 360-degree videos where you're not able to interact with the scenarios to fully immersed VR, where you will receive inputs as audio input. You will be able to visualize the scenario, but you will also be able to get haptic feedback, and you can even add smell and taste and stuff like that. In these fully immersed scenarios, you are able to interact with other team players. You will be able to interact with the scenario itself, the environment, and the patient. And they will be adaptive to the treatment that you initiate. But back to how it's used in CPR training. This is a picture from a study I conducted a couple of years ago, where we introduced 360-degree videos to a basic pediatric life support course for laymen. And we compared the use of the 360-degree videos in combination with hands-on mannequin training with a traditional course. Here we found that the VR group felt statistically significant more emotionally involved. They were more aware about how it looks like, those different kind of emergency situations that we showed to them. And they were more aware about how to perform the treatment needed. Also, they felt more secure about how to take their own and the child's safety into account. We also performed practical tests after the end of the course where we compared the two groups. And here we found that the VR group were statistically significant better at helping a child with foreign body airway obstruction compared to the traditional course. We found no differences in the CPR group. Or the CPR training. The Resuscitation Council here in the UK provides young people with an app called Lifesaver VR, where you're able to train CPR at home. All you need here is your smartphone and a Google Cardboard, which is a really affordable head-mounted display. It costs around 5 to 6 euros, and then you can actually train at home. In this VR scenario, you are able to you will be asked different kind of questions throughout the scenario, and the scenario will evolve regarding of your answers. We also find the VR content in a more advanced way, and this is from an ACLS scenario, where you are able to interact with other team members and provide CPR. Again, in these scenarios, you are able to interact with the others. You are able to interact with the patient, and it will how the scenario will go on will depend on what treatment you initiate. There are some limitations with AR and VR. I still don't believe that the AR is really there yet. We only have small visual field in the HoloLens. Regarding the AR, we still have the problem that some people report what is motion sickness or what is called cyber sickness. I do believe that this is depending on the hardware used and also the skill set of the developers. And we do need developers, we need programmers and producers to help us make this content, and it can be quite expensive. And then we lack research in this area, both regarding the AR and the VR. The advantages would be repeatable scenarios. You can do it over and over again. It doesn't cost any extra as long as the content have been made. You will be able to do it anywhere at any time. I dream of making virtual labs in the hospital, so you can actually, when you're on a shift and you have maybe an hour where nothing is scheduled, then you would be able to go down, put on the VR gear and train different scenarios. So you don't have to get away from the department for a whole day to train at a sim center. Also, it provides immediate and objective personalized feedback. And I do actually believe it's cost effective. While sophisticated AR and VR content are rather expensive to build, it is, I think it is cheaper compared to putting up a lot of large-scale simulation where you need high-fidelity mannequins, which can be quite expensive. You need a whole team who have to be off from duty. You need a lot of educators, and you need a sim center as well. We do have to take the teamwork. The teamwork is important. We do have to develop this together with the tech industry. I don't think we can do it alone. They have a lot. Yes, they have a lot of insights in how this should be done in the right way. So there have been many dreams to help us innovate education and improve the outcome of CPR training. AR and VR cannot and should not replace all CPR training, but I think it offers exciting new opportunities with a higher impact. So there's a dream that I dream of, and that is that we can work together to find out how we should use these new technologies in the best way to ensure flexible, repeatable, motivating, and safe training for as many as possible. And as said in Peter Pan, all you need is faith, trust, and a little pixie dust. Thank you.